But it's very important we must observe very briefly here that firstly, the punishment of our peace, as we are remembering the Lord's death this evening, we must remember with that sense of awe and respect, firstly, the punishment of our peace which was laid upon him in order that we could sing and rejoice and Paul could write, Christ, for he himself is our peace. God is at peace with me. God is at peace with every blood bought of Christ who is truly redeemed. I've used the expression, no, people of many churches in Nigeria call redeemed. but I say this with rejoicing joyfully, that sometimes it's not just the name of huge gathering redeemed, but whoever is truly redeemed, bought by the price paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, God is at peace with that soul. That soul need not to feel condemned, provided they have truly repented, have resigned from their self-righteousness. They have looked, I am a sinner. I am not righteous. If anyone who thinks that 97% or 99% Christ's righteousness and 1% my self-righteousness would help, no. It has to be 100%. Nothing I bring, but simply him we sing, to thy cross I cling. And God accepts us. He does not look at how sinful or horrible we are or individual is. But once a sinner's eyes are opened, they said, I am undone. I've sinned against God. And God is holy. He is righteous. And I need, because God, in his sovereign mercy, my friends, when you believe in him, he does not put your sins to your account. Because he does not put our sins to our account. And he's done in his son. Punishment for our peace. And what we get is not the punishment. What is put to our account is Christ's perfect righteousness. Wonderful. Now that's firstly observe this. The punishment of our peace. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And this verse we often call chastisement. I would encourage you to, in your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 53. And this verse 5 in particular. Now in verses, you read that the prophet Isaiah used a few words. I will come to that for sin here. And in Psalm 32, but here it's verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of for our peace. Note here, the chastisement. This is what I wanted to want you to note the phrase. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Now what is chastisement? Chastisement is another word for punishment. So what prophet Isaiah is saying, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now I'm saying firstly is the punishment of our sin, the chastisement. Now, if I were to give you three very simple things. Number one, it was laid upon him, as the prophet said. Him. Notice, it was not his punishment, and yet it was laid upon him. It was our punishment. It was our punishment, our chastisement. Now what, as I said, chastisement is a punishment. And here one commentator, Haley in his commentary says, chastisement usually indicates disciplinary measures which aim at correction. Here, the chastisement refers to punishment. Now, Alec Motia in his commentary on Isaiah says, the correction brings us peace. Wonderful. So, number one, I'm saying it's firstly is the first heading, brief little heading. It's the punishment for our peace. Number one, it was laid upon him. It wasn't his ours. Number two, it was experienced by him. I just gave you references. You could make notes. Psalm 22, verse 1. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. And in these passages, we learn that he personally experienced God-man, truly God, and that the eternal Word of God became flesh, took upon him the true nature of man in order that he would suffer in our place. All what he went through in his life, not just hung on the cross, all his life was a life of suffering. As the suffering servant, as Isaiah 53 is one of the songs of the suffering servant. There are four well-known songs in Isaiah. And what we learn that he went through, he experienced, but personally, the cross was that climactic point he experienced, he went through when he was nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross of Calvary. It was experienced by him personally. Number three, it was the wages of our sin. Note the wages aspect. Yes, of our sin, but it was the wages. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And this was not his wages, our wages of our sin. Romans 6:23. And then we learn here that he suffered and he died. The blood of Christ, that expression reminds us. My friends, let me illustrate it. In the Old Testament, the blood of animal was shed. The blood shed meant death has taken place. So often blood can also be theological shorthand for, as other Christians have observed, for the death of Christ. So, but we have to always look at the context and that in what sense the emphasis on the blood. But generally we look at it's the death. No, the death is taken because someone had to die for someone's sin. In the Old Testament, yes, the blood of bulls and animal, all the heifers could not do away with the sin, the guilty conscience. That's why they were repeated. They were types and shadows looking forward for better sacrifice. Christ, who will be our peace, as the perfect Lamb of God, he will offer, and once for all, no more we will be running around looking for animals for sacrifices. No, Christ's one sacrifice is done away. It's gone. It's finished. It is finished. And this, the Lord's table reminds us. Wonderful encouragement to us. Because in the Old Testament, man would come. He would bring a lamb. And look, when he would come to the gate of the tabernacle, as he would come, the ritual would be that he will bring before the animal was put to death, the person will put his hand at the top, on the head of a victim, the animal, and by thus, what was symbolized, that I am the one to be put to death, my sin, but for my sin, this lamb is put to death. So that was symbolic to do that. That was a person would do. And then those, throughout the week, sacrifices were offered, and that what was in the courtyard of the holy temple, that was the big altar for the burnt offering. That's where sacrifices went on throughout the year. But once a year, on the Day of Atonement, there was only one person, and that's a high priest, who could go to the most holy place And the rest of people waited outside. And he would not go into that without the blood. And that will be just once a year. And now when you study, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that Christ, with one offering, once for all, has opened the door. And that brings us to the second thing we must observe here, is that how he has brought our peace. And this is second thing here we must brought. Christ is, and the emphasis, our peace. Yes, first we mainly focused on the chastisement, the punishment, and that he that went through. And it's for our peace. Yes, our chastisement, our punishment, our sin. And then the words that are used, they are telling what our hearts are like, my friends. Now, Isaiah 53 uses various words for our sins. And Psalm 32, as you study in the New King James Version, other translations have also picked up. I would encourage you to study. There are three words English Bibles use for sin, our sin. And we must study what's called hamartiology, the study of sin, that we need to understand that how horrible our sins are. Our sins are horrible. And the English Bible uses three words often. Let me outline. And you can pick up in Psalm 32, first two verses in the New King James Version and other translation. They're also repeated in Psalm 51. And then Isaiah 53, these are mentioned. Number one, word sin is a very common word in the English Bible, but one has to know the context, what's the original word there. But generally when it's a sin, the reference is to miss the mark. That we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. And the mark is the God's Ten Commandments. The moral law of God. We've all missed it. That's the mark we should aim. But we have missed the mark. We're stupid. We are foolish. That's the word. When someone misses it, reality is person is stupid. The stupidity is foolishness. Then none of us can boast, I'm wise. I know it all. No, we all have missed it. We have broken God's Ten Commandments. We have blundered it, made blunder of every one of it. And we are hater of God. So sin, that's what reminds us. The other English word is transgression. Then sometimes we use trespasses. Now transgression is also trespass in law is used. When you know that's the set boundary, you mustn't go out of the boundary. So in trespass or transgression, we have gone out of God's marked boundary. That's the state of our hearts. God has said, no, these are my words, and we go right the opposite. That's the heart of man. And then the third word is iniquity. In English, often you hear iniquity, and sometimes in plural, iniquities. Not just one iniquity, plenty of iniquities of our sinful heart. And when some iniquity has the sense in the original, is crookedness. We are crooked. We are bent. We're not straight. There's all this craftiness, crookedness. My friend, in spite of that, Christ has shed his most precious blood. Heavenly Father has loved us with all our crookedness, with all our craftiness, with all our sinful, terrible heart. My friend, it's a good study. I would encourage you, make note of these words, study it, come back to me if you want to know more. I can recommend you to study further. And as further our brother putting these books, there are books can be looked at, but this is the state of, this is our sin. But amazing how Christ has done it. Yes, he's broken down the middle wall. Now, how has he brought this peace? Yes, our theme has been Christ, our peace. Christ is our peace. Now, in the rest of this passage, Paul tells us beautifully, look at it again, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now has made both one. Yes, there is a reference to of Jews and Gentiles, but we must always think one with God, reconciled us to God, and then reconciled us to one another. When you reconcile, you come back again. That what has gone with hatredness, with that hatred of sin, is brought to an end and exchanged in place of that what is wonderful fellowship, peace. Greek words, or in the New Testament used for reconciliation, have a beautiful meaning. What they really tell you is that in this work of reconciliation, what has happened is that the Lord, what He has done, Christ's blood has done, is done this exchange. Is that in order that this change has taken place, is a wonderful change, is to cause one thing to cease, to come to an end, and then to take place new thing. And that is in that reconciliation, even the word telling. And this, He is telling how He has done it with one another for us. Look at, He says, made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Or another good word would be partition. There was a partition. This partition, my friend, let me tell you, if you know the architecture of the temple, it will be good to study. And in teaching, preaching, you do hear quite a lot. But still, it's good to study that what would happen in the temple when our Savior was there and Paul was writing. Also, this huge temple in Jerusalem. And there was a court. The partition began right at the outer part, right from the beginning, as you would come to the temple. And there would be a special porch. And that porch was designated for non-Jews. Non-Jews dared not to go beyond that partition. There was wall. Because Jews had special privileges. Yes, in the old covenant. Yes, under the old covenant. Yes, before the Son of God came into this world. Yes, we must remember that in the old covenant, yes, they were light to Gentiles, special, favored God's people. But now when Christ has come, that messianic hope, that promise is fulfilled. Paul is telling, no, neither Jews nor Gentiles. That what has happened, that Christ's blood has, those of you who were far off, now you are brought together and we are one, into one body. Look, that's what his emphasis is teaching us here in these verses. Look at verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both. Here he is having reference to both to the Jews and the Gentiles. Both to God in one body, the church. That's the state now. Why? Through the cross. It's through the cross possible, my friends. Thereby putting to death the enmity, the hatred of sin. Now when you heard that passage read, now you're going to appreciate further what it means for the Gentiles in Ephesus. Look at in verse 11. He's saying few verses, really reminds them, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision. That was a derogatory term that the Jews would use for the non-Jews. They'd say, oh, the uncircumcised. And they'll make their face looking as we are special, the circumcised. Look at my friend, would you be called that with a derogatory way? Well, I know people who are full of hatred today, they'll call various nationalities we are, but we are, I've often said, I'm very thick, really. We're to be thick when people make racial abusive comments or say something to any race, sometimes with a derogatory manner. Christians can smile. We do smile. But that's the world, my friends. It must be a foreign idea in the house of God. And it must be foreign in the churches of God. Well, that's what Paul is teaching. This is what reconciliation is. And on this planet, on this earth, people talk about racial harmony. A lot of politics in the media. They sort of celebrity try to stand with maybe some Asian children, some Chinese path, or some Afro, and the whole world is taking pictures and say, wonderful, isn't that? Wonderful lesson. My friend, a lot of it is hypocrisy. There's no true harmony. The only true reconciliation, and I say this with that burden, and true harmony of races is to be found only in the true church of Christ in this earth. That's fact. It's not perfect, but that's where you find true harmony. Yes, one day it will be perfect. I think I have said enough, and may God be merciful to us that we live in a time where false preachers, false cults around the world are scaring people, and as people almost you have to give in order to be appeased, and that the wrath of a deity would come down. That's a lie. Because when Jesus died and bled, the wrath of God was appeased. The just demands of the righteous law were satisfied. We're sinful, horrible. And yet any sinful creature, whether it's here among you, who's still clinging on to his self-righteousness or her self-righteousness, is to cry to God for mercy. Say, Lord, be merciful to me. Have mercy upon me. How horrible is my heart. How terrible is my heart. I am so full of sin. I'm full of iniquity, crookedness, and not straight. And I've transgressed your law. Oh, but I come to the cross of Calvary. Have mercy on me. And the Lord is gracious. He accepts my friend. He doesn't look at your pedigree, how educated you are, how many degrees you've got, what nationality you are, or where you have brought up. No. He looks at every one of his sheep. You may have, I know in this country people have gone to, and I've said this from this pulpit, to Eton, and yet haven't got common sense between right and wrong. They can become prime ministers, and yet they defy God in his holy presence, and they haven't got common sense. Therefore, rejoice. Don't worry whether you have got degrees or not. That's irrelevant. If you have got degree, thank the Lord that you can use that knowledge to the glory of God. And whether whatever environment you have brought up, don't look at and say, oh, wish, what is my bringing up? This is all God works together for good of his people. May the Lord be gracious to us. And teach us that this, when we know, wonderful word, for he himself is our peace. That will be the settling point in our all the clamor and all the things that are sinful heart. Because we're to say, yes, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that hatred. Well, read the rest. That wall of separation, yes, for the Gentiles, but then both for the Jews and the Gentiles was the inner veil between the holy place and the holiest. And even the Jews couldn't go and have access into God's holy presence. Pray to him. Come to him. My friends, that veil was torn from top When Jesus said, it is finished, it has been finished by one payment. The one he paid for all our debts of our sin. Once for all, done it. Amen. May the Lord be merciful to us. So now Jews had no right to be boasting, because they were also no better than sinful, like the non-Jews, and they also didn't have courage to go and have an access into the holiest where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he said, oh, we both are brought near. May God help us and teach us that we would learn what it meant for the Lord of glory to die and suffer in our place. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that Christ is our peace. And he indeed is our peace. And he has broken down the wall of partition. And we pray there will be no wall in our own hearts. And if there is a wall in any one of our hearts, we pray that you would deal it in your way. Oh, have mercy upon us that we would cry over our sins and be delivered from that attitude, just as the religious Jews had many times against the people of non-Jewish background. And we praise you that your church is made up of people from all tongues and tribes, colors and cultures. Help us to rejoice and enjoy that fellowship with you and true harmony in the house of God, because we ask it through our Savior's most precious and ever-living name. Amen.